This morning, the Lord wants us to look at this thought, when God says yes. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. There was a young pastor who had just taken the church, been pastoring 2 weeks. And he was called to the hospital where one of the original members of the church was laying there dying. He had prayed for her many times, but he'd never met her before. And he went up there to the hospital, and she was laying with machines on, and she was just in terrible shape. She was able to communicate with him a little. And when he got there, he introduced himself and told her that he was the new pastor. And she said, this is what she said. She said, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me that if it's God's will, he'll heal me, because I feel like God has more for me to do." And the preacher saw her, and believing that God probably wasn't going to answer that request because she was elderly and very feeble anyway, he said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll pray." Not really believing God was going to do anything, he bowed his head to try to just encourage her. And he began to pray. And all of a sudden he heard a noise in the room. And he looked up, and that woman had pulled out the IVs and had took them braces on her legs off and had jumped up on top of the bed and was putting her hands up like this, said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I knew you had more for me to do." And it scared that young preacher to death so bad that he didn't even finish his prayer. He jumped up, ran out the door, got on the elevator, went downstairs and got in the car and said, "God, please don't ever do that again. That has literally scared me to death." And he was saying, "God, don't answer another one of my prayers." You know, you and I've got to learn to expect God's answer when we pray. This man prayed without any faith. You may say, "Preacher, I would never pray without faith." Oh, I can remind you that in Peter's day, when he was locked up in the prison cell, the church was praying for him all night long. "God, get him out of jail. Send our pastor back to us." And what did God do? But he went, sent the angel, and got Peter up, broke him back to the house. Peter knocked on the door, and they said, "Who is it?" He said, "Simon Peter." And they told that little girl that answered the door, said, "You're crazy. We know Simon Peter's in jail. We've been praying for him all night that God would get him out." And the answer was knocking at the door. You see, we pray with that kind of faith. It's a wonder we ever get a prayer request answered. Amen. When I look here at this scripture about Jabez, I see God's yes. Now, there are four ways that God answers prayer. Number one, there are times he denies our prayer or says no. There are times he delays our prayer or says wait. There are times he answers differently. We pray about this, but he does something altogether different in answer to our prayer. And fourthly, there are times that God gives us a definite yes. He answers our prayers. R.G. Lee said, "To take prayer out of life is like taking heat out of the fire, melody out of music, numbers out of math, facts out of history, fiction out of literature, brains out of the skull and expecting intelligence, and blood out of the body and expecting health." You see, a Christian needs to be praying. Jeremiah 33:3, God said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." It is our position to ask and God's position to act. When Jabez began to pray, God began to act, and he answered Jabez with a yes. There are some things here in this story about Jabez that intrigues me. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 9, I want you to see Jabez rising burdens. The Bible says that his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." She named her boy a son of sorrow. His name also means he will cause pain. And so everywhere Jabez went, people looked down on him because of his name. He has a problem that he cannot escape. Maybe for you it's not your name. Maybe it is your health, or maybe it is your finances. There's a sickness, some situation that you cannot escape, and it's just got you pinned to the mat. You don't know what to do, where to turn, and Jabez has got a name that his mother gave him that means he will cause pain or son of sorrow. I'm sure he was the punchline of many jokes. I'm sure he was ridiculed wherever he went. He was laughed at and humiliated. But something, according to verse 10, caused Jabez to call on the God of Israel. In my opinion, I believe his problems drove him to the Word of God. And I believe when he got in the Word of God, it created faith within him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Something calls Jabez to call on the God of Israel. I want to say to you this morning, you're in trouble, you got situation, you got problems. That's the time you need to be calling on the Lord for sure. You'll go see every doctor, and you'll go see every psychiatrist and every advisor, but the best thing you'll ever do, honey, is you need to go see God and call on His holy name. So Jabez has got some rising burdens, a problem he can't escape. And he calls on the God of Israel. Now when I think about Israel, I think about he that was named Jacob, and God changed his name, remember, to Israel. Jabez called on the God of Israel. There had been a name change. What's his problem? His name, son of sorrow. So he decides to get in the Word of God, and I wonder if he had somebody preach to him or share with him the story of Genesis chapter number 35. I want to look there just for a minute. Genesis chapter 35. We see Jacob, who we know is going to be renamed Israel. We see Jacob, and we also see his wife Rachel. The Bible says in verse 16, "And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni." Can you see this woman? You women know what it's like to go through childbirth. Her life is expiring in delivering this child. And as she's dying, she says, "I want the name of my son to be Benoni." And Benoni in the Hebrew means son of my sorrow. That's what Jabez's name means as well. And so Jabez says, "Benoni and I have something in common. And this story intrigues me personally, and I want to read more." The Bible says, "But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem." His father, Jacob, as his wife died and said, "Call the boy Benoni," the father said, "No, we ain't going to call him Benoni. We're going to name him Benjamin. I can't have this boy for the rest of his life toting around the baggage of a bad name. Son of sorrow. He will cause pain. I don't want him to have to live like that." He said, "We're going to call him Benjamin," which means son of my right hand. It means son of favor. And he said, "I want him to have a blessed name rather than a burden name." And Jabez probably heard that and said, "That's me. I need a name change. I need a character change. Let me tell you what, Jabez found out that there's a God who's in the changing business. He doesn't change, but he'll sure change you. I was a sinner when I met him, going the wrong way. But he saved me and changed my life and started me going the right way. I say hallelujah to God. Why did Jacob realize that what a bad name would do to that boy? Why did Jacob want to change his name? So let's study that for just a second. Back in Genesis chapter 32, turn with me there. You remember Jacob had a brother Esau, and the name Jacob means cheat, trickster, con artist, supplanter. You remember how he deceived his brother. You remember how he deceived his daddy to obtain the blessing. He got kicked out of the home because of the way that he acted. He ended up getting deceived himself by his father-in-law. He got the wrong girl when it was time for him to get married, and he had to serve more time to get the girl he wanted. Now he's come away with two wives. He sure didn't need that. And guess what? As he comes back home, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Hey, Jabez called on the name of the Lord God of Israel, and he asked God to bless him. And I wonder if he didn't get that whole story from this right here. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Jacob's been asked that before. His daddy said, what is thy name? Jacob said, my name is Esau, and tricked his daddy. He didn't want to say, my name's a cheater. Hey, who are you? I'm a cheater. Who are you? I'm a con artist. Who are you? I'm a deceiver. Who are you? I'm a trickster. I guarantee when you walk in the door this morning, if I ask you who you were, you're going to say, my name is Darren. Or my name is Joe. My name is Dan. When you walk in the door, you're not going to say, my name is sinner. My name is deceiver. No. He said, who are you? What is thy name? And he said, my name is Jacob. He admitted who he was. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Well, I can't. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You know who it was that Jacob wrestled? It was a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He showed up in his situation at the most desperate hour in his life. He began to wrestle with him there. I'm going to tell you something. Many of you have wrestled with God for years over things, and you'll not win. God has never lost a wrestling match. He's an undefeated, undisputed champion. You will not outwit him, and you will not out-wrestle him. And so Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he said, I won't let you go till you bless me. And guess what he did for him? He changed his name. He changed who he was. He changed everything about him. And from the time that event took place, Jacob walked different. Can you see him as he comes back? Said, who's that? What's daddy? Daddy, what happened to you? Oh, I met somebody. I met a man named Jesus. Boy, he's changed my life. I'll not be walking like I was before, y'all. I used to walk by sight, but now I'm walking by faith. Every step he took, amen, was a step that God had made a change in his life. And Jabez has got rising burdens in his life, and he says, if God could change old Jacob from being a cheater and a supplanter and make him Israel, a prince with God, maybe he can change me. Hey, people with problems, I have found that there's a God bigger than our problems. Hey, man, I like that, don't you? And so, when Rachel died and named the son Benoni, Jacob knew all about a name change. He said, he's not going to bear that old name. No, sir, not my boy. He's not going to be the son of sorrow. I want him to be the son of my right hand. Amen. Now you go back with me to the text. We see Jabez's rising burdens. Today, you've got some rising burdens, some difficulties, some hardships, some situations. They're rising, they're mounting. The pressures are on you at this point in time in your life. But I want you to see, second of all, Jabez's reaching belief. The Bible says in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Preacher, why is he calling on the God of Israel? He's calling on the God of Jacob, the one who changed him. He's calling on the God of Benjamin, amen, the one who changed him. And I want to say this morning, when he called on God, it took faith. He's reaching this morning. He is reaching in belief. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Who are you calling on for your problem? Some of you are calling on the government. Some of you are calling on the doctor. Some of you are calling on the bank. Oh, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to do it if I don't have some help. Have you ever stopped to think? The biggest help and the greatest help you'll ever need is the Lord God. He's in the helping business. He's in the lifting business. He'll lift you out of a horrible pit and set your feet on a solid rock and establish your goings if you would but let him. Amen. Thirdly, when I read this text, I want you to see Jabez, who's now reaching, believing by faith. I want you to see, thirdly, Jabez is requesting blessings. Look with me. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You know what Jabez is doing? When he calls on the name of the Lord, he is praying. I've looked in chapter 1. Let's flip back over there. Look at all those names. Chapter 2, chapter 3, and all the way down through chapter 4, down about verse number 8. And all of a sudden, all these names stop, and we meet Jabez, more honorable than his brethren. And verse 10, and then it goes back to this list of names again. I've counted over 500 names that are listed here, but not one of them are listed in connection to prayer. But all of a sudden, it's like they were consumed with goods and gold and greed, and all of a sudden Jabez gets consumed with God, and he began to pray. He didn't just believe in prayer. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe in prayer? Yes, I do. He didn't just believe in prayer. He prayed. He prayed seriously. He prayed specifically. Look what he does. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He prays for three things. First of all, he prayed for a greater place to serve in. The word coast is a word which means territory or region or area. I was studying how in the world could this be possible that the Lord would enlarge his coast. He's praying for more area. And it's not just about land, though that's the way it kind of reads, but the only way you can get more land, if you got it from some of the people in Israel on the year of Jubilee, it goes back to them. The only way you can get more land is to take it from your enemy. And God took from the enemy of Jabez and gave it to Jabez. Preacher, I'm not following you. Some of you, you're saying, Lord, I want more. I want more. You know how you're going to get more? It's going to start with less. But how you're going to get more is you got to get on your knees and say, God, I am going to get more of you when I get less of me. Lord, there's some things that are controlling my life, some things that are in my life that are not needful. And I'm going to give those things up. And in giving those enemy things up, I'm going to have a greater area of service in my life. I want to serve him greater today than I did yesterday. I want to serve God in a greater capacity than I've ever done before. Second of all, he prays for a greater power to serve with. He says that thine hand might be with me. He says, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere without your hand on my life. I don't want to get in the pulpit and preach without God's hand on my life. I don't want to teach a Sunday school class without God's hand on my life. I don't want to take a part in the play without God's hand on my life. Whatever I do to serve God, Lord, I want to know that your hand is on my life. Nehemiah said that the good hand of the Lord was upon him. I think about Gideon, where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Billy Sunday made this statement. He said, I want to be a man of God. He was a preacher. And he said, I want to be a man of God. Spurgeon said, the world has not yet seen what a man totally surrendered to God could do. Whew. That causes my heart to burn. It sets my soul on fire that God could possibly use our lives to a greater capacity than he is now. And it excites me to death to say, oh yes, my hand's on you. But there's a lot of time, like your children when they grew up and you had your hand on them, they'd say, get your hand away, Daddy. I can walk by myself. Hey man, I want to hold your hand when we cross the road. I don't need you to hold my hand. I can do it myself. I want his hand in my hand. I want his hand on my head and on my feet. I want his hand on my spirit, amen. So that everywhere I go and every time I stand, I want to be a man of God. Amen. I get to thinking about some of you Sunday school teachers. You've been burdened. What can we do to see Sunday school grow? Pray more. If we'd pray more, God would bless more. Our problem is how little we pray. And how much we expect God to do great things in our life, and we do absolutely nothing. Jabez just began to believe God, and he called on God. Well, Preacher Darren, I feel like I have to persuade God to use me. No, ma'am, that's not true. You don't have to persuade God to use you. You need to permit God to use you. Well, the way I'm seeing it, he don't need my permission. He's not going to work through you until you let him work in you. He prayed for a greater power to serve with. Thirdly, he says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He prayed for a greater protection to serve by. He said, God, keep me clean. Keep me pure. Keep me holy. Do you realize, are y'all listening to me? Do you realize with greater power comes a greater attacks from the devil? Greater levels with God creates a brand new devil in your life. You try to get closer to God, the devil's going to fight you more. You go ahead and determine, I don't usually go on Sunday night, but I'm going to go tonight. The devil will fight you all afternoon. Give you every excuse not to come. You need some greater power. If you get great power, you're going to need some great protection because the devil is going to give you every excuse under the book to quit. I promise you. You got to realize you're in a fight, and the only way to win the fight is by the hand of God. Last of all, and I'm through, we see Jabez, number four, is rewarded bountifully. And God granted him that which he requested. A, God heard his prayer. He said he would. Amen. God heard his prayer. B, God honored his prayer with God's answer. And God's answer was yes. You know what the word granted means? It means to step into. You realize when God granted his request, God said, I'm stepping into your prayer life. Can you imagine? I'm going to have a spell. Can you imagine coming burdened this morning? Oh, my heart's broke. Or somebody says, well, I'm doing pretty good, but I want to do more for God. And here you come and say, oh, God, that you might allow, Lord, I want to permit you to work in my life. And I want you just to enlarge my coast. And I want you to protect me. And I want you to give me power. And about that time, God off his throne steps into your life and says, I'm going to do just that for you. You're honoring me. I'm going to honor you. Man, to know, are you with me? To know that this morning we come in with all our problems and all our issues, and we came to this altar and God stepped in our prayer life and said, I'm going to do that just exactly. I'm going to say yes. You get up from here and you say, he's going with me. I feel his, boy, I hope somebody will leave today and say, well, glory to God, I feel his presence on me, his blessings on me, even as I leave today. Some of you may say, I felt that way when I come in. Amen. That's good. said hallelujah. He heard his prayer and he honored his prayer. Turn back with me to chapter 2. Chapter 2. At the end of the chapter, verse 55, here's this long list of names. Are you with me? And the families of the scribes. Who's the scribes? They are the men that are copying down the Word of God. They are the men who are taking the Word of God and presenting it to kings and to other people. They're about the Word of God. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. You see, God enlarged him and blessed him so much. You may say, wait a minute, preacher, this came after that. No, understand, they're writing this whole grand picture all at one time. The scribes were looking for a blessed place to dwell. Said, let's dwell at Jabez. Oh, man, that means son of my sorrow. That means he'll cause pain. Well, it used to. But Jabez began to serve God. And God changed things in his life. And now his name means he's blessed. Y'all are not getting this. I'm going to come back here. God took his disadvantages, Jabez's disadvantages, and turned them into advantages. You mean God can take my problems, my difficulties, my disadvantage, and turn it around? Oh, yeah. And use it for His glory. The thing that's handicapped you for so long and has held you down, God can turn that thing around and loose you and let you go. Well, preacher, I wish I could find out how that happened. Y'all looking at me? Here I come, Lord. Oh, God, that you would bless me indeed. Not just bless me. Y'all hearing me? Not just bless me, but bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He said, oh, Lord, I want your hand with me. I want your power and I want your protection. You mean that's all he did? Yep. And God gave it to him? Yep. You stand to your feet.